Meet Natasha. The character is fictional. The experience is shared by people across Southeast today. This is their story. In Early and Woodley, critical teacher shortages persist alongside empty training places, as graduates who want to teach physics cannot access the programs that would qualify them for classrooms desperate for their expertise. Natasha's journey reveals how Treasury spending rules create artificial scarcity where abundance should exist, leaving schools understaffed while qualified candidates wait outside locked doors.
I never thought I would become a teacher. After Southampton University, where I studied physics, I spent 3 years in tech consulting, good money, interesting problems. But something was missing. I kept thinking about Dr. Martinez, my sixth form physics teacher, who had this way of making electromagnetic fields feel like magic you could touch. She showed me that physics was not just equations, but a language for understanding how the world works. I wanted to do that for someone else. My hobby probably says something about who I am. I collect vintage scientific instruments, barometers and galvanometers from the 1950s and 60s, usually broken when I find them. There is something therapeutic about bringing them back to life, cleaning the brass, rewinding the coils, watching the needle swing back to where it should be. Everything can be fixed if you understand how it works. In early 2023, I applied for secondary physics teacher training through the University of Reading's School of Education. I had done my research. Physics teachers were desperately needed across Berkshire, Surrey, everywhere really. The training bursary was £27,000, which would cover most of my living costs during the one-year programme. I met all the requirements: good degree, classroom experience through volunteering, clear motivation. The interview went well. Then came the phone call. The admissions tutor, Dr. Patel, sounded genuinely apologetic. "Natasha, I have some disappointing news. While you have been accepted onto the programme, the physics training bursary has been reduced from £27,000 to £10,000 for the Southeast region this year." She paused. "The Department for Education says there is no budget for the full amount. £10,000 would not cover my rent, let alone food and transport. I had savings but not enough to live on for a year while training full time. Is there any chance it might go back up?" I asked. "We hope so, but Treasury constraints mean it is unlikely," Dr. Patel said. "I am really sorry. We know how much schools need physics teachers." I deferred my place, thinking it might be a temporary issue. Over the summer of 2023, I applied to other universities across Berkshire and Surrey. University of Surrey, Royal Holloway, Roehampton. Each gave the same response: reduced bursaries, Treasury constraints, sorry. It was like hitting the same wall over and over. In autumn 2023, I decided to visit the University of Reading's education faculty in person. Maybe there had been some mistake. Maybe the funding had been restored. Walking through the School of Education building, I could not help but notice how empty it felt. Entire floors of seminar rooms stood unused, doors propped open to reveal rows of empty chairs. There was a computer lab with dozens of workstations, all switched off, dust settling on the keyboards. I got talking to Mike, one of the technicians. He had been there for 15 years and remembered when things were different. "We used to run physics training cohorts of 30 students, he told me. "Big, lively groups. Now we struggle to fill places for 12, and half of those are on reduced bursaries, so they drop out halfway through." "But surely if there are empty places, they could increase the funding to fill them," I said. Mike laughed, but not in a happy way. "That is the mad thing. We have got all this space and equipment just sitting here. Same with the partner schools. They are crying out for physics teachers but cannot get the trainees. The head at my daughter's school told me they have been advertising for a physics teacher for 2 years. 2 years? That conversation stayed with me. I started seeing the contradiction everywhere. Walking past local secondary schools, I would notice job vacancy signs for physics teachers still up months later. I talked to friends who worked in education, and they all told the same story: teacher shortages, empty training places, reduced funding. It made no sense. The more I thought about it, the more I realized what I was looking at. The people existed, graduates like me who wanted to teach. The need existed, schools desperate for physics teachers. The infrastructure existed, university departments with empty classrooms and unused equipment. The expertise existed, lecturers and mentors ready to train us. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that prints the pounds told me it could not find enough of them to connect willing teachers to waiting classrooms. But I had seen those classrooms at the University of Reading. They were real. The students who wanted to fill them were real. The schools that needed us were real. I started to understand that what I'd been told was not a fact about the world. It was a choice dressed up as an impossibility. The Department for Education had decided to reduce the bursaries. The Treasury had decided that connecting teachers to training was less important than keeping some number on a spreadsheet looking smaller. The government that issues the currency chose not to spend the currency that would solve the problem. That is not an accounting problem. That is a political decision. I am still here, still watching. I work part-time now, doing some freelance consulting, and I volunteer at a local secondary school, helping with physics lessons. The teacher there, Mrs. Kumar, is fantastic, but stretched thin. She teaches across 3-year groups because they cannot recruit anyone else. "If only we had more people like you," she says. "People who understand the subject and want to share it." I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, "We cannot afford it," except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. What I understand now is that this is not just my story. It is happening in every constituency where qualified people and urgent needs exist side by side. While someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, the cupboard is never bare for the people who control what goes into it.
What Natasha experienced has a name: cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where government investment produced disappointing results to justify never investing at all, while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when public spending does get deployed properly. Think of tobacco companies in the 1960s. They would find one study showing no link between smoking and lung cancer, then cite it repeatedly while ignoring hundreds of studies proving the opposite. They cherry-picked the evidence that supported their predetermined conclusion. In education policy, cherry-picking works the same way. Officials point to isolated cases where teacher training programs had low completion rates, using these exceptions to justify cutting bursaries across entire regions. They ignore decades of evidence showing that properly funded teacher training produces the qualified teachers that schools desperately need. The objection always cited is, look what happened to countries that overspent on public services, but countries that issue their own currency have never defaulted due to domestic spending. Greece, the standard example, used the euro and did not issue its own currency. Nordic countries with large public sectors have lower debt crises, not higher. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Early and Woodley ranks 538 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 10. The constituency has 1,112 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £5.2 million, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.